లలితమైన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. నమోహం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామని నమస్తే. సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది అశ్చత్తదేశధారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శివాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ రామ రామ. I'm speechless. 72 people, 72 brahmacharis taking saffron. It's not a small number. Some places 72 is the entire congregation. This day itself is auspicious. There is no auspicious day from the calendar's point of view. But the day we decide to rededicate, you know, with a greater determination in the service of the Lord, and that day itself is very auspicious. So it's a long awaiting. Many devotees, especially from Radha Gopinath temple, are waiting since so many years, no less than 5 years, to, you know, put on this saffron dress. I remember when I came, I just bought a cloth from Dadar and dyed my own cloth and wore it. So there was no value. But here, you know, your service, the aspiration in separation, as Jayadvait Maharaj is speaking today in morning, enhances. As you have waited for so many years wearing this white cloth, you managed to wear white cloth and it's still white. It should have been black. So that means it's a good... If you wear this saffron also, and it will stay forever till your last breath. We should try for it. So therefore, you know, I remember during our Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj's sannyas ceremony, our Radha Gopinath Prabhu made a very nice point. He said, it struck strongly in my mind. It's a beautiful ashram. The saffron dress is beautiful. It depicts renunciation. So therefore, accepting that saffron, it simply enhances its beauty. He was making that point that, you know, that ashram is beautiful and the person is accepting also is going to make it more beautiful. Otherwise, that very cloth, when put on by people who are not very serious, not very dedicated, it sends a different signal. Therefore, it increases the responsibility. Just imagine so many people suddenly turning into saffron dress. So it is not only the changing of the dress, but the changing dress has to take place here. I remember when Yamunapati Prabhu was living, he left his body. And then Maharaj asked Radhananda Maharaj, why he did not wear saffron? He was the best candidate to wear the saffron because there was no question of removing that dress. He was dying. So I got the point. Saffron means it's a death only. Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto purport, when Sati was quitting her body, she took saffron cloth, indicating that death. So therefore, it's a complete commitment, dedication, sacrifice. Let your every breath be a sacrifice. Let your every thought be a yajna. Let your every moment be a service to the Lord. No? So with this, I stop here because many devotees have to speak and 72 devotees have to wear clothes. So not a small type. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki!
మమజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఖ్య చక్షూరున్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. సీయింగ్ గోవింద్ ప్రభు సిటింగ్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఆసన్ అండ్ స్పీకింగ్ టు డివోటీస్ రెడీ టు యాక్సెప్ట్ సాఫ్రన్ ఇన్ సచ్ యూనిఫామ్ లైన్స్ వాజ్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ లైక్ initiating the future warrior monks. I was just thinking and the dialogues also came out. So this is like reaffirmation. But of course it will not be like Radhikapati fighting with transcendental gundas. But they will carry the javelin of determination, the sword of devotion, sword of knowledge, and probably the strength of tremendous conviction in the and focus on the goal. This is like, yes, in one sense, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also writes, spiritual warrior. So we are in one sense warrior fighting on Krishna's side against the force of Maya. And saffron is like reaffirmation of our conviction in principle. It is just, it's putting like a seal of affirmation by the blessings and by the sincere prayers of the whole parampara. As we were reading this Shat Goswami Astak, I was feeling this is our mission statement of the saffron clad group especially. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Bhaktya Loka, sadhu vritti, sato vritte, six things that is favorable, utsahat, nishya, dhairya, tattat karma, sangatyagat, sato vritte. So that sato vritte, in that essay, he says, following in the footsteps of the previous great acharyas, and he says there are three kinds. One is the grahasthas, householders, their duties. Mahaprabhu, there are two kinds of Mahajans, the previous and the recent Mahajans. Previous Mahajans, we already know, 12 and all others. A recent Mahajan, he says, are after Mahaprabhu. And he says, following, he quotes Narottam Das Thakur, he says, following in the footsteps of the recent Mahajans is still more auspicious. Because it's just recent and you're able to relate much more. And there he quotes Mahaprabhu's instructions to the grahasthas, Mahaprabhu's instructions to the renounced order. Hare Krishna. So, and thirdly, he says, Mahaprabhu's instructions to everyone as a Vaishnava. So specifically for those who are following the Vairagi kind of, for them it is, specifically he quotes many injunctions what Mahaprabhu taught as to Vairagi, especially quotes what he told Raghunath Das Goswami via Swarup Damodar Goswami. When Swarup Damodar Goswami was, Raghunath Das Goswami asked Swarup Damodar, at that time he told instruction for a Vairagi, and specifically very in essence, grasping. And that's exactly what this the Shat Goswami Astak is actually speaking. And each of them grasps one particular aspect. Krishnot Kirtana Gana Nartana Parav. And there, here it is, the non-enviousness. And therefore, they could chant blissfully and they were loved by everyone. Dhira Adhira Jana Priyo. When we are pure and our motivations are clear, and then we can be really friends of everyone, and then we can, our chanting, we have a taste for the holy name. The second one talks about how they were highly read, the well read in the scriptures. Even in His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, when he sent the 10 instructions for the brahmacharis, which we had put it up there, it says Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuna, and boldly be able to establish the conclusion, and always Lokanam Hitakarina, wanting what will actually benefit. And then here the third one is about the taste, Param Drishtvani Vartate, Sri Gaurang Gunan Vardhana, and increasing the faith of others. And the fourth one is detachment. Nadhanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam. Even to the post, he says, Mandalapati Shreni. Mandalapati Shreni can come in an institution even for the Vairagis. So they may have left that, but even this can come. So detachment from any materialistic facilities or position, that shouldn't be the motivation for actually serving, but simply a desire to serve. And then Kujat Kokila, in that Jivartha Dauyo Muda, taste for Vrindavan, life of Vrindavan, lifestyle of Vrindavan, and being fully convinced that that is the highest goal within the core of the heart. Swaru Damodara Mahaprabhu told also, Hriday Radha Krishna Sarvada Bhajive, worshipping. That is the highest, Jivartha Dauya Muda. And the sixth one talks very beautifully about disciplining ourselves. How can we conquer Ahara Nidra Bhayamethun, or even he says, Nidra Ahara Viharakadi Vijitav. We have to conquer the bodily concept of life. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi. Sometimes if the surrounding is not favorable, sometimes gradually there is a tendency that we may. Generally, human tendency is to look for the lowest possible standard and try to compare that and feel complacent. At least I am better than two persons in the ashram. That's always the tendency, rather than looking to the highest standard and feeling that I'm so much to go up. So this is a very nice thing. Sankhya Purvaka. This is how Kalavasani Kurta. One should control time. And then the seventh one is Grastav. Prahlad Maharaj also says, I am captured by the Krishna Graha Grihitatma. Grastav Pramattav. That madness, Mahaprabhu also told, what kind of mantra you have given us, Gosai, what is the power that I have become mad? Bhakti Tirth Maharaj once had come here and he said, he opened his Chaitanya Gaur Leela by telling, goal of life is to become mad. You actually have to become mad, either this way or that way. Mad after sense gratification, nunam pramattaha. Or you have to become mad after Krishna. There is no in between. So better we become mad for Krishna. And the last one is as glorifying the separation, as Jayadvait Maharaj explained so beautifully, eloquently, and so systematically built up this morning, how Sanatana Goswami says about the eternity of even service in separation. That's also simultaneously equally, which is what Mahaprabhu has come to teach. So maybe if we can make it as our mission statement, or sing every day and reaffirmation and check ourselves against this standard, that will be a wonderful thing to look up to. So I will sincerely pray. I'm very happy to see so many. Feels nice when the number increases, the tinge of this room also becomes more saffronized, very pleasing at least for me, very inspiring and encouraging for me to see more and more. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And we have a big lot of devotees from ISKCON Pune. So on behalf of all of them, I would request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to speak a few words of inspiration for all of them. And if His Grace Shikshashtakam Prabhu is here, oh yeah. So he can also, after Radhesham Prabhu, speak a few words.
ओम ज्ञानतमृंद ज्ञानाजन शलाकय चक्षुन मिलतम येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. It gives me a very great pleasure to see about 72 devotees taking saffron today. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he says that sannyas is not to be taken in the old age when one has no energy in the body to serve. Although oftentimes it is thought of by people that you go through the brahmachari ashram, then grihastha, then vanaprastha, and you take sannyas after 75, as people often think. Prabhupada says sannyas should be taken when one is hale and healthy so that one can serve Krishna very nicely. And in order to prove this point, he says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24. When he had a very submissive and beautiful wife, Vishnupriya, who was only 16 years old. And when his mother was a widow and old, and Nimai Pandit was such a famous hero, surrounded by very loving associates. And when he did the civil disobedience movement, thousands of people followed him. And he had such a command over so many people. And who would want to give up such a position and relinquish it all for taking sannyas? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show that one can discard all these things if one could get an opportunity to preach and propagate Krishna consciousness and chase after the suffering souls to bring them back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Sannyas is really worth it. One can give up all these things. Just like Chanakya says, you know, you can give up one member of the family for the sake of the family, and one family for the sake of the whole village. And one can give up one village for the sake of the country. And one can give up the country for the sake of the whole world. But one can renounce the whole world for getting the lotus feet of God. So, taking saffron actually is giving up our false identities, the material designations, and totally accepting the shelter of Guru and Krishna. So Prabhupada says taking saffron means declaring boldly to the world openly that I am not anymore a part of this material designations, but I am only servant of my Guru and Krishna. Identifying with only Guru and Krishna and the service that one has been given. So and he says, Prabhupada says, this is very essential because the material impurities in our subtle body, they pin us down in this material world repeatedly with false designations and hopes, repeatedly suffering in this world. But when we take saffron, and there he gives the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj also took saffron when he gave up his designations as the husband or the father or the son of somebody, and as a king, and having subjects and all that. So we give up the material designations and we accept the spiritual designation, which is our eternal position as the servant of our spiritual master and Krishna. So in this order of saffron, one especially gives up the company of the opposite sex, for which the whole world is mad after. It is said when Purvachiti and Agnidara, they were catching each other's hand and doing Agnivalam, even Agni got mad after Purvachiti. They were surrounding Agni. So the madness for opposite sex is so powerful in this material world. But if one can sublimate it because of the love for Guru and Acharyas, the Parampara and Krishna, one is extremely fortunate. Every one of you here who is taking saffron, I am sure you have that core sincerity and commitment and dedication to your spiritual master and the Parampara, which has inspired you to be a part of this occasion today. And you can see, if one can commit in that way, how much this world can benefit. I heard from Govind Prabhu once, he was telling, in the Pariyaya festival, sometimes a few lakhs of people come at night, 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., when the Pariyaya festival takes place, when one of the acharyas becomes a pujari in Madhva Sampradaya, who is a sannyasi, who is a brahmachari sannyasi. So, why so many people assemble there? Because all the living beings in this world are eager to see somebody completely dedicating his life to loving and serving Krishna. Actually, every living being wants to do that, but they have great difficulty doing that because there are so many stumbling blocks in this world. At least they are able to admire and appreciate someone doing it. So this order of saffron gives great inspiration for the living beings. Although many cannot do it, many appreciate it from a distance. It gives tremendous faith to people that yes, love for Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and it can completely satisfy the soul. Just see this person, he has given up dhanam, janam, sundaram, everything, and he simply wants to serve his guru. So people certainly admire, and that admiration is very essential for all the different orders of the Varnashrama to advance towards the ultimate goal of life. So the saffron order gives that type of faith to the people. And Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada saw, he was telling that how sometimes people use their caste or use their saffron clothes for collecting money and living like a parasite on society. And how people earn the respect from other people just by wearing the saffron clothes. And simply use it for doing the business of maintaining themselves. And Prabhupada felt very unhappy about it. And Prabhupada says in his commentaries, ISKCON is not a free hotel. ISKCON is actually a society where Srila Prabhupada wanted very hard-working youngsters who would take the mission of our acharyas on their head and go far and wide all over the world and propagate it. In the statements that Prabhupada made while starting the League of Devotees, he had three aspirations. One was to print and publish the Bhakti Godhead magazine, and another one was to print spiritual literature and distribute it on a large scale. And the third one was to have 40 to 50 youngsters, Prabhupada says, whom he wanted to train and make them into international preachers, and who would travel all over the world and preach. So here in Chopari temple already, these three missions of Srila Prabhupada are being fulfilled by His Holiness Dayananda Swami Maharaj, and it gives me so much joy to be a part of this mission. And Srila Prabhupada's dreams are becoming gradually fulfilled by his disciples and the current acharyas. And what we are seeing today, this glorious function where 72 youngsters, many of you educated, following in the footsteps of Goswamis, casting away your degrees. In Gandhi's times, people were casting away their degree for national freedom. But here all of you are casting away your degrees and high-paying jobs and family relationships and everything for the ultimate liberation from this repeated cycle of birth and death, and to get an opportunity to eternally serve the lotus feet of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And I'm very sure the current acharyas and Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas and the Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all are greatly in great ecstasy seeing this wonderful sight and showering their unlimited blessings upon every one of you. Hare Krishna.
I was just looking at the calendar, and it is very significantly coincidental that officially 13 years ago I joined the Brahmachari Ashram on this day. On 20th of Jan, I reached Bombay from Delhi, and it was 21st, that is today, in the morning when I was sitting over here and chanting, Radhanath Maharaj, he saw me and he called me and he asked that, so what is the news? And I said, I'm at your service, Maharaj. And Govind Prabhu was sitting in front of Maharaj. So Maharaj called Govind Prabhu and Maharaj said, just shave him up. So I was remembering that particular incident, Srila Prabhupada's shaving and saving. And I was thinking that if it was not the Brahmachari Ashram, maybe somewhere outside in college, also such kind of ragging takes place. But when you are voluntarily accepting the path of renunciation, it is not just shaving but also saving. And as the Saffron Brigade increases, I myself feel very much protected, because this is not a very common color to be seen. And another thing which I was just reflecting upon, that many years ago, the 26th January is coming close, so many years ago I participated in the Republic Day Parade, and the commander of our flight, he made a very nice and profound statement when he was giving us the practice every day. He said, and whenever I want to get inspired in my own path of renunciation, I many times remember that. He said, for a soldier, this one motto or this one slogan should be always ringing in his ears. And he said, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. And when I myself joined the Brahmachari Ashram, and as I was trying to accept the path of renunciation year by year, I always reflected upon this statement, that the more we accept renunciation voluntarily, the more we'll become attached to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So my only prayer and wish is that let this Saffron Brigade keep on increasing, so that I myself, I feel very protected. Hare Krishna.
I request all the Saffron devotees to come in front and sit here next to Prabhupada and next to the Saffron Club, because traditionally Maharaj had a system of all the Saffron devotees together sitting at one place and praying for all those who are going to take the saffron. So since physically it is not possible to send the cloth around, so we request you to come right here. Just before Shaman Prabhu begins, I request all the Saffron devotees to come on this side.
Hare Krishna.
I would just like to echo the sentiments of Shikshastak Prabhu as to how much it is reassuring that many devotees have taken this resolve to dedicating their life in the Sankirtan mission of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Looking at the caliber of these personalities makes me remark that I feel that all my seniors have joined after me. They are just junior in age by the kind of responsibilities they take. It also makes me reflect on how little was expected from me. I came in the ashram and Govind Prabhu draped me in saffron cloth. And that is one thing which I always felt as if much more than just kripa was given at that time. Now we can see on the faces of these devotees there is so much of a sense of achievement, and as Srila Prabhupada points out in a purport in Sri Upanishad, that the living entity and the Supreme Lord, there is one common thing between them among many others, and that is the urge to take an initiative. The Supreme Lord is Swarat. He is fully independent, and the Jiva is not bereft of that initiative potency. We have it maybe in fraction, but we do have it. So this resolve to completely dedicate oneself is something which comes from the heart of the jiva. It cannot be forced. It cannot be made to come out through any other means except our own self-volition or our own self-initiative. And in many letters, Srila Prabhupada kept on encouraging devotees for going out and spreading the movement. As Radhishyam Prabhu pointed out, going out in all corners of the world. One disciple wrote to Prabhupada that I don't feel so much qualified for preaching or for spreading the movement. And Prabhupada always encouraged such kind of sentiments. In fact, one of my hobbies when reading Prabhupada's letters is to sort of guess. It's called a guesstimate. A guessed estimate of what the question could be. And there is a common theme that whenever a disciple has put forth a proposition that I'm useless, I'm worthless, I'm bereft of all intelligence. And in one letter Prabhupada says, I need so many worthless disciples like you. In the sense, appreciating his sentiment that I am nothing. So we are nothing. But by taking this cloth, we are proclaiming that actually we are nothing. So it's a bold statement that I am actually worthless. And all that I am made of is the mercy of my spiritual master and my eternal Shiksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and the Guru Varga. and Gaur Nithai. So I do hope that with this family increasing, my sense of protection also will get an upsurge, and I do hope that I get a chance to serve all of you somewhere or other. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Request Gaur Gopal Prabhu to read through the 10 instructions which had been written by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj many years back to the leaders of the Brahmachari Ashram. So just as a reminder and create the right mood for all the Brahmacharis, we will just hear these 10 instructions.
His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's instructions to Brahmacharis at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. First, our Brahmacharis should be trained to deeply value the importance of strict sadhana. Second, we should train them to be humble, menial servants at heart, expecting nothing but ready to offer their lives in the service of the Vaishnavas. Third, they should learn the essential virtue of chastity and loyalty to our Guru Parampara, never searching elsewhere. Fourth, our Brahmacharis should scrutinizingly learn and comprehend Srila Prabhupada's books. Fifth, they should be trained to fearlessly preach Krishna conscious philosophy to the people in general and defend the principles of pure bhakti. Sixth, Brahmacharis must learn the Brahminical standards of cleanliness and keep the ashram clean always. Seventh, they should be trained to offer puja to the holy deities with punctuality, cleanliness, great respect and care and according to the authorized process. 8. We should teach them to prepare nice prasadam and nicely play instruments for kirtan. Our kirtan should be with great feeling, enthusiasm and very graceful for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. 9. They should associate with women only for essential service, not for sense gratification. And 10. Most important is that our Brahmacharis develop great love, trust and personal friendships with one another to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Gaur Gopal Prabhu. Now may I request His Holiness Chabak Swami Maharaj to speak a few words of inspiration on this occasion.
So we learn that this is bhakti is vairagya vidya vija bhakti jiva. Vairagya vidya bhakti parishan bhava vyukti amata. Bhakti means developing attachment to Krishna. Krishna, anything related to Krishna. If you develop that, then automatically, naturally, you will be detached. You can ask ourselves. It's already there within our heart. You can be a little introspective. Who likes prasad? Please raise hand. Prasad means simply being pleased, prasanna, prasanna. If Lord is pleased, simply take prasad. Then we take up attachment to Krishna. But still, if we go to outside, no. But it simply means attachment. Everybody has got attachment. Everybody can say, I am free from attachment. We must have attachment to something. But you're trying to repose that, you should know where to repose. Actual point is Krishna. Krishna and Kashtana. Kashtana means related to Krishna. Krishna's devotee, Krishna's dham, Krishna's associates, Nandavara, Krishna's salis, Krishna's devotee salis, Krishna's prasad, as in Dharsala. From his childhood he is doing that. And he forget his mother bringing food, he is forgetting. You want to become an M-Tech and you are forgetting. You are taking food? No, no, I am basically. Naturally you become. It's natural. We are attached, but unfortunately from time immemorial, we are attached to Rup, Ras, Gandhas, Varsha, this Tanmatra. There is such a relation, object and sense object. It is very difficult. Habit is difficult. Second nature. Suppose I say this movement is the movement of building character. We cannot teach others unless we develop. Become a perfect gentleman, a Brahmin. Brahmin means he is non-envious. Devotee means first sloka is to Bhakti means Paramodi Matsaranama. But material plane means enviousness. Who can say outside and keep on living? Very difficult. Non-violent. Is non-violent, not envious, free from pride, free from false prestige. He doesn't indulge in untruthfulness. He is perfect Brahman. His blessings will not fail. Will not fail. Here is Brahman. So most of the sages previously used to call Vipra a DJ because he has got that power. But you are not after power. You come here to become a Vaishnava. But very basic and first and foremost thing is you must be qualified Brahmin, otherwise you cannot come to Vaishnava. But you become Vaishnava, automatically you have Vaishnava. So this is to become attached to Krishna, you will be automatically detached. It's going inside, has to be like that. Why do this formal? You have to externally, officially, you have to have something. So we say, great moment, you are taking this vow so that you honor this thing. Because you are ISKCON, you have to set up an example. Otherwise, how can you be a teacher? What the people will say? You are born here, you have to set up an example. Although you can be a teacher, you will be a cheater. So this is ideal case, and you can ask ourselves how much you have become. Here is Maharaj teaching you. I am also learning. So I am very fortunate to see all bright faces which Prabhupada like and pure, signifying. And it's very nice to be here all together, Prabhupada, which he started, his legacy is going on, and his followers, again, what Prabhupada did and doing when he came here. I like, it's a very Vrindavan atmosphere, creating nice, like in Nanda Baba Radharani's palace, or how Varsana, very nicely decorated, created, and also bright faced devotees, blissful, which create an atmosphere where, just like birds are there, different, but the bird is also there, crow. He takes pleasure in garbage. And bird is there also swan. It is supposed to be Vaishnava. So here is the, shall I say, beginning? At least seriously. So I feel fortunate to be here and give some time. Thank you very much.
So I now request His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to kindly speak a few words of inspiration for all the brahmacharis.
Okay. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschadya Deshatharine Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
His Holiness Subhag Swami Maharaj has explained the essence of renunciation, which is to rise above envy, arrogance, lust, anger. In other words, to rise above all selfish pursuits for the purpose of completely attaching ourselves to unconditional devotional service to Lord Krishna. The Varnashram system is set up in such a way that different types of devotees at different natures, at different levels of spiritual progress, can achieve this end. Essentially, whether we're Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, from a spiritual perspective, if in the end we do not awaken our dormant love for Krishna, Shrama Eva Kevalam, it's all a waste of time. Everything is meant for this purpose alone, to develop our taste for hearing and chanting and rendering loving service to the Supreme Lord. The two Vedic injunctions, which include all others, is to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. The perfection of detachment is total attachment to Krishna, to pleasing Krishna. Anya vilashita sunyam jnanam karma nivramitam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktarutama. Pure devotional service is rendered in a favorable way for Krishna's pleasure, and it is not tinged with any selfish desires, either for sense gratification, for mystic powers, for liberation. It is simply for Krishna's pleasure. That is true renunciation. It is said, Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that the only way to achieve that perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. There are great souls in the Grihastha Ashram who attain supreme perfection. Of the Mahajans, there is Prahlad, there is Svayambhuva Manu, is Bali Maharaj, is Lord Shiva, and several others. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, where he just brought all the conclusions of all the knowledge of all the Vedas into his own Leela. We have Srivas, Nityananda Prabhu, became a Grihastha, Advaitacharya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Prataparudra Maharaj, many models. And in all of them, for those who take to the Grihastha ashram, there is an example of how to apply philosophy and teachings in such a way to attain the goal of loving devotional service to Krishna. And for those who are in the renounced order of life, which is brahmachari or sannyasis, we follow in the footsteps of those who have sacrificed everything in their life exclusively for the loving service of the Lord. And within our, among the Mahajans, there are such persons as Shukadev Goswami, Narada Muni, among the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, there were many. Radha Gopinath Prabhu has read to us and given beautiful purport to the prayers of the six Goswamis by Srinivas Acharya. Interesting, Srinivas Acharya was a Grihastha with children. But what was his appreciation for the six Goswamis? And even great renunciates worshipped and honored him, not because of his ashram, but because of his love for Krishna. So people will not be inspired by us because of our ashram. They will be inspired by us in the heart because of our love for Krishna. And each ashram is modeled in such a way to access that love for Krishna. Among the six Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami is a supreme model of what renunciation truly is. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, he points out how people take to the renounced order of life to solve the chapati problem, because it's an easy way to just live a lazy life. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he didn't have any chapati problem. He was a multimillionaire, an heir, the sole heir to an immense fortune, with a wife like an angel. He was young, he was handsome, he was intelligent. But he left it all with great efforts, simply so he could dedicate himself totally without any distractions from the loving service of the Lord. And he went so far beyond what was expected of him. But the perfection of renunciation Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And this was revealed. Raghunath Das Goswami was so humble. He felt himself unqualified to speak to Lord Chaitanya directly, although he was practically constantly in his association. He was the assistant of Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he achieved this position after approaching Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu by serving all the devotees. This was Raghunath Das's system of coming to be in the renounced order of life. By Nityananda Prabhu's encouragement, he served all the devotees. He satisfied all the devotees. And he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And by that mercy, he was the servant of the servant, Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he asked Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar Goswami, "I've left everything behind. What is my duty?" And Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Swarup Damodar Goswami knows everything. He can explain everything to you. But since you are asking me, I will tell you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in just three verses, he encapsulated in a very practical way the very essence of the duties of one in the renounced order. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kohibe, balana koibe arbarana koribe. That you should not speak idle gossip, and you should not hear it. This idle gossip, criticizing, fault-finding, talking about useless subject matters, not only does it corrupt our own heart, but it degenerates the very fabric of a society of devotees. People with loose tongues like to find faults with each other, criticize with each other, either directly or indirectly. Srila Prabhupada spoke that prajalpa, or this unnecessary, useless talk, gossip, it drains whatever devotion we have in our heart, just drains it out. And Raghunath Das Goswami later on wrote that this gossip, this tendency to find faults with others, is like, it's like a witch that steals away our devotion. And Rupa Goswami, a great crest jewel of renunciation, he told us that pure devotional service, a symptom is, one no longer has any tendency to find faults with others. Now our tendency, because the ego is such a complicated and highly developed anarta within us, that we'll find faults with people who find faults with us. Yes? And in this way, we never learn. So gramya kathana shudebe, gramya varata no kahibe. Don't waste your life with this fault finding, with this gossip, with this common village talk. And Srila Prabhupada explains that you can't substantially give up something unless you replace it with something better. So the propensity of the tongue to speak, we utilize it to glorify Krishna, to chant the names of Krishna, to speak about Krishna, to glorify the devotees. Param drisvani vartate. It gives us the higher taste. And then he said, one should not speak, or one should not eat very luxuriously, or dress very opulently. So eating simple begins with taking Krishna's prasadam. As His Holiness Subhag Maharaj so beautifully explained, somehow or other you all love prasadam. It's beyond sectarian conceptions. So this is the beginning of controlling that propensity to taste. Instead of independently just going here and there to eat whatever we like, we take the sanctified food that is offered to Krishna. And then we don't eat too much, because, as they say, we eat to serve. We don't serve to eat. We should take those foods, or that the quantity and qualities of prasad that help us best in our devotional service, to sanctify our lives. And dressing luxuriously, brahmacharis, very simple. I remember one time, anyways, I won't tell that story. But we can figure out a way in any situation to break these principles. The idea is, we don't try to show ourselves off. Nityananda Prabhu, he dressed very luxuriously. We saw in the drama last night that thieves of everyone in Navadvip, they wanted to rob him the most. And this was... he was wearing so many costly jewels. One time a devotee went to Lord Chaitanya, and he was very confused that why Lord Nityananda Prabhu dresses like this. Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Nityananda, all of the ornaments are the personifications of the nine processes of devotional service. He's not doing it for himself. He's a cowherd boy. He's dressing like this just to attract everyone to Krishna. Sometimes we see in South India or other places, pujaris wear gold chains and earrings and very nice dhotis. Yes, you have seen. Now, Krishna sees our intention. If they're wearing all this gold, more than the grihastas that come to the temple, the pujaris wear gold sometimes, and jewels. If they're wearing it to attract people to themselves, then that is unfavorable for devotional service. But if they're wearing those jewels because they're going on the altar and they want Krishna to enjoy seeing them, then that's devotional service. After all, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very opulent. Gadadhar Pandit was a simple brahmachari. He was thinking, why like this? How is he such a great saint if he's dressed so luxuriously? But then he realized he's only doing it to give Krishna happiness. The gopis dress beautiful for Krishna's happiness, not to attract people to themselves. So as brahmacharis, we dress very simple. Brahmacharis, this is their dharma, to be very, very simple for the purpose of not attracting people to ourselves, but attracting people to Krishna. But we have to be very careful, because sometimes the way we speak, the way we sing, the way we manage, these are like ornaments on a brahmachari. And if we do those things to attract people to ourselves, what's really the difference between dressing in the finest silks with diamond earrings to Mangalarti? So we have to be careful. The spirit of this principle, not to dress very opulently, is not to try to attract people to me, but to try to attract people to Krishna. And factually, from what I've seen over the years, more brahmacharis, or let us say more people in the renounced order of life, are trapped by Maya and fall away because of the ornaments of their incredible speaking and singing and managing abilities than they do because of the nice clothes they wear. So we have to understand the spirit, not to dress nicely. It means our goal is not to attract people to us. It's to attract people to the Sangam of devotees. It's to attract people to Guru and to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive, not me. Krishna is all attractive. Amani manada hoya, Krishna nam sadalabe, braje radha Krishna seva manase koribe. In the second verse, Lord Chaitanya tells to Raghunath Das Goswami, one should not expect respect for oneself, but one should offer all respect to others. This is the real spirit of renunciation. If you're fasting and people are very much impressed by your renunciation and you're enjoying that, then while your body's fasting, your ego is feasting. It's safer for your body to feast and your ego to fast. We should learn to take pleasure in offering respect to others. That's the positive principle. By learning to develop a taste of offering respect to others, and if we practice doing this, it actually becomes a natural, spontaneous thrill. Then we don't need to be respected ourselves. And then Lord Chaitanya says one should always chant the names of Krishna. Constantly chant the names of Lord Krishna. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's the spiritual foundation. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. This is Lord Chaitanya's words, what his own guru gave him, this verse that Lord Chaitanya considered so very sacred. And our acharyas throughout the centuries have quoted this verse millions of times. Because our focus should never go away from the holy name. We may have so many other duties, so many other services, there may be so many other forms of bhakti, and all of them are wonderful, beautiful, and essential. But the foundational basis, the pillar that keeps everything connected, is the holy names. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked the Lord, of the nine processes of devotional service, which is most important, the Lord said, the chanting of the holy names. And the next step was to always, within one's mind, remember and meditate upon Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But you see, one cannot artificially do this until one follows all of these other principles very carefully. Not to speak nonsense, not to hear it, to live a simple life in one's dressing, in one's eating, in one's spirit, to offer all respects to others, to not expect in return for ourselves, to always chant the name of the Lord. When we do all these things, then we can actually come to the stage of meditating on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. In the third verse, and each of these verses is so concentrated and critical, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami and speaking to the whole world through him. What is the essence of renunciation? We've just covered two verses briefly. And the third, Trinara Bisuni Chena Taror Ivasi Hishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. It's repeated. In this way, one could consciously chant the holy names. So this is what real renunciation means. And the accepting of the color saffron is not to boost you to a higher social position, but to humble your heart to a lower position, like a blade of grass. That is the purpose. Sometimes in spiritual societies, what something is meant for has the opposite effect. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya this in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He said, now you are a sannyasi, now you will think you are God because everyone will honor you this way and you will be finished. So putting on the saffron color is actually a sign of humbling yourself to the lowest position of a blade of grass. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of every living entity. This is the spirit. Krishna doesn't see the color of your clothes. He sees the color of your intentions. If you have saffron intentions, you're really renounced. And that means this. Saffron is like the color of fire. It is said that yogis in the olden days would go to the forest and put on saffron so snakes wouldn't bite them while they were meditating or praying, because it looks, snakes don't like fire. So this is the fire that is meant to, this saffron is meant to be, the spirit is the fire that burns away the anarthas of the ego and selfishness and self-centeredness. The fire of our enthusiasm to serve unconditionally. It is about dedication. I'm very grateful to all of you, to those people who have been following these principles in an honorable way over the years, and to those who are going to deepen one's dedication. You see, as a brahmachari, putting on saffron doesn't mean that you can never marry, you can never change ashram. We are really not concerned with what ashram you're in, because all ashrams can attain the perfection of Krishna consciousness if we do it right, if we follow in the footsteps of great souls. But for those who are enlivened and enthused and empowered within this renounced order, it's a beautiful opportunity, because really there's no other distraction. As soon as we try to enjoy certain types of physical enjoyments, mental enjoyments, then you have to work so hard just to sustain that. But if somehow or other we're happy to do without it, then we can dance every day during Guru Puja. And we can do so much service throughout the day. Some of you travel around the world, some of you travel around the world of Bombay or Maharashtra. And one of the greatest services of those in the renounced order is to serve the householders. We have, householders are generally very much obliged to working so hard for what they have to maintain. The brahmacharis could study, could go to their homes, could invite them to the temples, could travel, could do so many things to enliven them, inspire them, or for others to take care of the deities, to take care of the temple, to prepare prasadam, all for the purpose of elevating everyone's consciousness. So please understand that when you put on saffron, you're very seriously committing yourself to the intention of living as strict brahmacharis. And in the varnashram system, the brahmacharis are the legs. They're the feet. Yes? So, We shouldn't be proud, we should be humble. Real renunciation is Trinada Bisunichena. Putting on the saffron color today is to really dedicate ourselves to this principle of total dedication to the principle of humility, sadhana, and service. And I know it's not easy in a place like Mumbai and these days Pune, Nasik, wherever else, they're not much different from Mumbai. There are so many temptations, there are so many alternatives, there are so many attractions. Many of you, like Raghunath Das Goswami, could be extremely successful with tremendous influence in the world, but you left all up behind with a grateful heart just to chant Hare Krishna and to serve. And that's absolutely beautiful. Srila Prabhupada wanted an army of peacemakers, an army of people who would bring peace and love to a world of so much envy, conflict, and egotism. So from my heart of hearts, I want to express my deepest gratitude to all of you for sacrificing and dedicating your lives in this spirit. And Srila Prabhupada is looking upon you, showering his intimate blessings upon you. And I thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So, request Radhakund Prabhu to... give the bundles of saffron for the blessings and prayers. Or to anyone, eh? Say the name. Say the name. So Radhanath Maharaj has specially requested that all saffron devotees please come in front, and he wants the saffron devotees to touch this bundle of saffron cloth on their head. Only one is sufficient. Yeah. So please, all the saffron devotees,
बंडल लेके चले जाएंगे.